know what songs Brother Ron is picking until he's already done the selection and got it in print and worked on it and then puts it out to everybody. And then I know what I've been studying or working on messages, and I'm amazed at how many times exactly the songs that he picks many times fits exactly somewhere in the text that I'm preaching on that day. Now, the only thing I can say of that is God the Holy Spirit's at work and in those. So we're going to go to our Bibles tonight in Galatians, and I love the words of that song, and not only that, how well he does it, but taking the words of what he just sang right there, I'm going to take a look at Galatians chapter 6. I titled the message here tonight is Be Not Weary in Well-Doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Interesting word, weary, in the Bible. We're going to take our text verse from verse 9, but I want to take a look at in context of how Paul put this chapter together in Galatians chapter 6, because Paul is talking about this new life that we have in Christ, this new life that we have in the Lord Jesus, and serving that when we become a Christian, how our life changes and how it's impacted in this new life that we do have in Christ, the importance of it in serving and that, and some of the relationships that we have. But when I got to looking at that word weary, when you get down to verse 9, our text verse where Paul said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And weary means feeling or showing tiredness or excessive exertion or, if you will, lack of sleep. You know, it's interesting because when I was working on this sermon, looking at this and preparing on Galatians 6, I was reminded of, in Bible college, Dr. Earl K. Odom, who was the president of our college and also the pastor of the church where I went to church. He used to stand there and say, "If you men are sleeping more than 5 hours a night, you are wasting time." You remember that, Betty? I don't know if you ever heard him, you and Jack ever heard him say that and in school. And, you know, he was one of those guys in life that could live on 3 to 4 to 5 hours a night. Now, I used to think there was something ungodly about that because I'm walking across the campus at 6:30 in the morning, getting ready to go to my first class at 7, and here I hear Dr. Odom coming out of the administration building. I don't know, Tony and Roz, if you ever heard that. And here he comes down the sidewalk, whistling and kind of humming or doing whatever. I used to tell him, I used to say, "Doc, something wrong with you." And that, so I don't know where you're at on the sleep cycle, but I'll guarantee you this, it's not scriptural to take your body and to beat it into the ground and not be rested and not be useful. Some of you might require 10 hours of sleep a night. Some of you need to, you know, my wife got me, my kids and my family got me, there's a little thing in my bedroom that sits there on that one thing and tucked away, and I can see it every day when I'm going in and out, and it just says, "King of Naps." Now, I don't know where they found that at, but I'll tell you what, there's some truth in that. And I always like Brother Larry Shepherd's advice, who was a good friend of mine, pastored in Saginaw for years. And Larry used to say, "Brother Rick," he says, "you always got to be in a state of readiness because you never know when a nap's going to overtake you." And you'd be surprised how many people I see taking a nap in church. And but let's take a look at this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And Paul starts out here. He says, "Brethren," so it's written to Christians. And keep in mind his the flow of this is this new life that we have in Christ. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." Now that's an interesting thing. "Which are spiritual in the church, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So an interesting way to start out talking about here the brethren, those in the church, those in the Lord's work, that we are to restore. If you're godly in Christ Jesus, living for the Lord, and you consider yourself a spiritual person, one of our responsibilities is to help, to encourage, to exhort, to restore those that that may be struggling along the way, to restore them. The Bible says here, as one in the spirit of meekness, and then considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. In verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Wow, here's a good verse on humility. And if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, and that really is what we are. We are nothing without Christ in this new life that we have in Christ. But in verse 4, "Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not another. For every man shall bear his own burden." In verse 6, now he starts talking about here the case of a teaching brother. He said, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My, how true that verse is in the Bible. We do reap what we sow. In verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, things of the Holy Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And now he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be worn out in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, we should stay in this for the long haul. You don't quit no matter what. You remain faithful to the Lord no matter what. If you have to come aside to rest, come aside to rest. If you need to take a sabbatical, go take a sabbatical. If you need to recharge yourself, whatever that means, do that. But don't quit no matter what he said. As we, in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto some men, the church. No, he says to all men, especially though, to them who are of the household of faith. And so we're to do good unto all men, especially those of the Christian faith. In verse 11, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand, Paul says, and as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have circumcised, they that may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Here he keeps using this word new, talking about many things new. He said in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. And from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So Paul really is laying out a lot of things here in this text, talking about this new life that he has in Christ, and then bearing the marks of the Savior and all that he went through. You think about what Paul went through in his lifetime. I mean, he was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and all the struggles that he went through in the Christian life. Paul really was on quite a journey. So let's think about a few things tonight on this verse 9, that things that in which you and I should not become weary of. Things which we should remain strong in, that number one is be not weary in doing the will of God. Be not weary in doing the will of God. In other words, keep your focus, and our focus, look at it in Mark chapter 16, that you should not ever become weary in the gospel. You should never not become weary in keeping your focus on the Great Commission. And this is what Mark's gospel, chapter 16 at the end of the book there, says in verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, it's interesting here. Sometimes I often wonder. I received an email this week, and I was a little concerned when I first got it, and I thought, oh my, here we go. And that is, I became aware of another missionary that's decided to get out of the mission field and leave. One of our missionaries that we've supported here for years, and James Brown from Australia. And that has decided to resign the mission field in Australia. So they sent word to all those that serve on the mission committee. Bronson got news of that this week. I got news of it. All those that serve on the mission committee at the World Baptist Fellowship, I'll receive news of that. And so my first thought is, you know, I wonder what happened. They'll tell you. They'll put it in a newsletter and then send it out to you why they're doing what they're doing. But I oftentimes wonder in that if you become weary in well-doing. You can get so weary and so stretched out that you can get discouraged, and especially if you're a missionary on the other side of the world. And he said, you know, went on to say in there, they're coming back to Texas. They're going to go out and serve in a church in Fort Worth there in Weatherford. And they're still going to serve the Lord, still in the ministry. So I'm not sitting in judgment of that, but I'm just sitting and saying that the road can become weary. The world can become long. At times, the road can become difficult. And so the Great Commission is something that you and I should not ever grow weary of. Let me show you something. Go over to Romans chapter 1. His great command for this age is still relevant and is still important, and we need to keep our focus. Come aside and rest if you must. Recharge if you will. Paul said here in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so the great command here, the great commission, is still the great commission, and we ought not to become weary in doing the will of God, the will of Christ. What is the will of God for all of us? Wherever you serve is the great commission. Our responsibility, all our total responsibility, is to get the gospel to as many as we can, both here at home and around the world. That's our focus. Should always be our focus. We ought never to become weary of that. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 21. Let me show you the second point in this here tonight, and that is that we ought not to become weary in living the Christian life. And again, Paul here is really focusing on this chapter 6 about the new life that we have in Christ and living the Christian life. And I went back and I got to looking at Numbers 21 here, and Israel, as they're traveling along, became a little discouraged, a little disheartened, a little troubled. Notice what it says in Numbers chapter 21, "And when the king Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, when he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners, and Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, 'If thou will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities.' And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." So one of the things, you know what's interesting? This ties right into what our adult Sunday school lesson was on this morning in Sunday school and the adult Sunday school class in A1-A2. And that simply is, a lot of times after a great victory, after great things are done and mighty things are happening, sometimes the devil will come along and try to interject and try to discourage or defeat or to tempt or whatever. And we were looking at this morning Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4 on Jesus being tempted. When did that happen? Happened right after the baptism of Christ. After Jesus was baptized, he was soon then taken out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit of God and tempted. So what we find right here, after a great victory and great things happening, here the journey that they traveled on became difficult. You know, and here's a good rule of thumb. I don't know, if you got a good memory, memorize this. If you don't have a good memory, write it down in your Bible. Dr. Odom also used to tell us, if you're ever going to quit, don't ever quit in the valley. If you're ever going to quit, don't ever quit in the valley, and don't ever quit when the chips are down and everything's going against you. If you want to quit, wait till the mountaintop experience when things are going good and the blessings of God along the way. Then if you want to consider, you know, but even then you shouldn't. And so, because it's easy on any given day of any given week to be in that situation where everybody can have a bad day. Everybody can have a bad week. Everybody, you know, Satan can come along and put thoughts into our minds and heart. And so we need to be careful that we ought not to become weary, tired, stretched out. And whatever it is, if you're going through a medical thing or medical issue or whatever, don't ever throw in the towel in the middle of all that. So be not weary in the Christian life. And as we live on, the way grows brighter. And you know what? Here's one way to look at it. Tomorrow morning, the sun's always going to come up. Tomorrow night, the sun's always going to come down. And so when we look at it, there's always tomorrow and another day. And I realize you look at that and you might say, it depends on who the optimist is and who the pessimist is, and say, well, how do we really know the sun's going to come up tomorrow for sure? Well, it always does, and it always will. And so be not weary in living the Christian life. And we find several references in the Bible. You could go on to that. Let me just show you one. Go over to 1 John chapter 2. In your Bible in chapter 2 and verse 15. And again, that becoming in the Christian life and the Christian journey, you know, it's not how you start out, it's how you finish. And a lot of people will start out strong. And, you know, I was visiting with a family this week, and they were asking me again about, gee, you know, you mentioned something in church here a while back that talked about when people get started, and it happened to be when I was mentioning in Bible college. Like in our class, when we started with 250. Was it 3.5 years later? 49 stayed and graduated. Well, what happened along the way? Some people just quit. Some people go a year and quit. Some people get discouraged and despondent and quit. Some people can't handle the pressure and the difficulty and the challenges along the way. 1 John, look at it in chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So be not weary in living the Christian life. Here's the third thought then, if you will, is back to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Thought number 3 on this text of Galatians 6 is, be not weary in giving a life of service. In other words, be not discouraged. You don't reap today. You know, it's interesting. I probably shouldn't do this, but I'll do it anyway because I don't know why. But Phyllis, would you share your testimony of your neighbor? And you had a neighbor that she shared in Sunday School morning, and you planted seed, you and Earl, planted seed and planted seed and planted seed and didn't know. And then all of a sudden, you get a phone call from Minnesota. Can you stand up and just share that with everybody? Amen. I thought that was a powerful testimony, is we don't know. You plant seed, you plant seed. You don't know when the crop's going to come up. You don't know what you're going to reap or when you're going to reap it, but you put that seed in the ground, you wait, and lo and behold, something comes up, and you say, praise the Lord for that. And so we just don't know. So it's always fun to be on the side of it where you reap the harvest, and you get to lead that person to Christ. But it should also be just as much thrilling to be able to plant the seed, plant the seed, plant the seed along the way. And you never know where the harvest. I've been on every end of that. It seems like multiple, many, many times of where you put the seed to the ground, you think, oh, there's nothing there. There's nothing to show for it. There's no, there is. Just trust that to the Lord and let the seed, the Word of God, do its job. And so when we see this here, be not weary in the service of the Lord, because don't get discouraged because you do not necessarily reap today. How long ago was that?
They moved
7 years ago. 7 years ago. So you plant seed, you plant seed, and you plant seed, and you say, boy, I wonder if it's ever going to, is it ever going to happen, come around. You just never know when that's going to happen. So the harvest is coming, so do not be weary in giving a life of service unto the Lord. Then, if you will, go over to Acts chapter 20. Be not weary in meeting for worship, to come together in worship. And by that mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, every Sunday morning I look forward. I mean, if I wasn't the pastor of the church, I still look forward to going to church and that. And so, you know, each and every Sunday I look forward to coming to worship. I look forward to hearing what Brother Ron's songs are and how he's going to fit the services together. I look forward and anticipate great things from the Lord. You get down to Acts. This is when Paul at Troas, you remember this? Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 6, "We sailed away from Philippi, and after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, we abode 7 days. Notice in verse 7, says, and upon the first day of the week, that's the Lord's day, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, continued his speech until midnight. So they came together on the Lord's day. So don't ever accuse us as Baptists of having long services when Paul had them till midnight. And, when you look at it here in the scripture, but we find here they were excited to come together to worship. And that's really what it should be. Neglecting this means of the grace means weakness. And so we find that we ought to be encouraged to come together for times of worship. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let me show you this. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you get down to verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. And for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And so when you look at it, we come together in the Lord's house to be able to worship Him, and I'll be encouraged by that. It's the highlight of the week to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day and to be with God's people and to worship Him. Notice if you're there in Corinthians, look over chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16, that not only should we not be weary in doing the will of God, the will of Christ on a regular basis, and do not become weary in living the Christian life, and do not become weary in giving a life of service to the Lord. Remember, it's not how you start out, it's how you finish. How are you going to finish? And see, many times people will start out, but they don't finish. And I was sharing with the Sunday school hour earlier today that one of the things that always bothered me as a pastor is to see somebody get saved or somebody get in church and somebody get going in the Christian life. And if they don't stay engaged or get grounded in there or find some way to get connected to the church, you could easily look up in 6, 8, 10, 12 months out and look, and guess what? You don't see them around anymore. Why is that so? Satan is very powerful. He goes to and fro up and down the land, seeking whom he may devour. Then the flesh is weak and the struggle is hard. And so you need that encouragement along the way. Do not become weary in well-doing. And then be not weary in meeting for the Lord in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And then we bring our gifts to Him. Brother, I love that song. Brother Ron did it again this morning, called The Offering. And the message that's in that, notice Paul here to the church at Corinth. He said in verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. They were gathering an offering to take to the poor saints in Jerusalem, so be not weary in our giving unto the Lord. And we do it not for God's good, but we give for our good. We give for us as we worship Him. And it really is a part of our worship. And so 1 Corinthians, just like they came here, we ought not to be weary in our giving unto the Lord. Look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. When we look in the scripture, we realize that we ought not to become weary and tiring in serving others. And you look at 2 Thessalonians, really the Bible is full of that, is a ministry of serving others. Oftentimes we can get our eyes on ourselves and our own problems, our own issues, and our own life struggles. And yet you find here 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And you get down to this text here, and Paul said, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And so we find here that we ought not to be weary in serving others. There are always those in need. There's always those that need to be encouraged. There's always those that need a helping hand. There's always somebody along the way. I think almost every week, something will happen or come by, or I'll run into somebody, or there'll be a voicemail on my phone, or there'll be a message or something to return a call to whoever. And there's always somebody in need. There's always a need in this lost and dying world. And there's always somebody that's going through a struggle. There's always somebody that has difficulty along the way. There's always somebody. And so our encouragement should be is to be a blessing to others. Hebrews. Let me show you in Hebrews chapter 6. Let me see if I got this right here. Hebrews. No, I don't. Go to back to Galatians. Well, no, let me take you to the text in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And you got 1 John 3 in this, in verse 16, 17, and 18. There always be a situation, those in life that have a need. He said, whereby perceive we John says, the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So we see that for sure we are a blessed people. And there will always be those in need around us. And so when we have opportunity, we should take advantage of that. And we ought not to become weary in well-doing and realize that it's a blessing to be able to serve. It's a blessing to be able to reach out and to help somebody that's going through a struggle. And go, I don't know about you, but I oftentimes think of this. You ever pull up to a stoplight or stop sign or whatever, and you know this homeless thing is becoming quite an issue around the nation. You go to California, they got a major problem right now. You go to different down in Florida, they got a problem down there. You go down in different parts of the country, it's a problem right here in Detroit. So I don't know about you. I remember when I was going down on a regular basis to see Zim there at Children's Hospital out of Detroit. Every time I would come out of the parking garage there at the Children's Hospital, there would be right there at that first sign a homeless man. Every time I go, he's right there. Same person all the time, had the sign. And many of them, I look at it and I think, you know, gee, do I stop? Do I help him? Do I not? He's young. He's old. You don't know what they've gone through. And every time I always think of this, but by the grace of God, there go I. And so when I often think of that, but I learned something by that all homeless people are genuinely not homeless. And you got to be careful in the world that we live in. I'll never forget, Nate and I were in San Francisco one year, and I'd had a business trip out there, went out, and I flew her out, and we're going down Fisherman's Wharf, and we're just kind of walking along, and all of a sudden I hear somebody scream, and this woman and people jump out of the way, and there was a homeless man sitting there behind a trash barrel, and he had some tree limbs or whatever pulled around him, kind of hidden and tucked in there. And all of a sudden, somebody would go by, and he'd scare him and jump out, and then he'd have his plate there and try to collect money. So he really got a kick out of doing that until I stopped, and I looked at him. I saw what was going on, and about an hour later, I walked around another corner, and there was a McDonald's right there, and there he was, sitting in McDonald's, eating a meal, and then he come out and got in his car, and he drove off. So that was the first eye-opener for me that not all homeless people are homeless. And some of them are playing the game, and if I can go out and beg for money and do this and do that, and then there are some that are legitimately serious and no. So how do you know? You just got to, I guess, follow the Lord's leading. There'll always be somebody in need. There'll always be somebody struggling. And I get those calls all the time. Pastor, if you don't help me right now, I'm going to get kicked out of my apartment. I'm going to lose my utility. I'm going to lose this. And I get them from all over the community and wherever, you know. And our obligation, we help those in our church family through our benevolence fund that have a general need, and we really try to assist and to help those in need and be sensitive to that. As we can, if we're able to, if a need, a real legitimate need comes up, and it's somebody that we feel honestly that, in the community that might need help, then, yeah, maybe we can help them too. And that's what we do with our benevolence fund, to try to be a help and a blessing and encouragement along the way. Then in Luke chapter 12, our last point here tonight in Luke is, be not weary in waiting for the Lord's return. He is coming back, and he's coming soon, but we don't know. You know, it's interesting. I have shared with you before, I share it again, that I really believe the day I got saved and the messages I used to hear all the time on the soon return, the second coming of Christ, I thought, man, here I am. I'm 16, 17 years old, and this is really a bummer because I'm never going to live a full life. I'm not going to be able to go to college and get married, have a family or whatever, because the Lord's coming back. And just believe the urgency of the hour at that time that, you know, the Lord's coming. And you know what? Lo and behold, here it is. That was back in 1967, long time ago. And so if you think about that, you really can become weary and waiting for the Lord's return, his soon return, and we ought not to do so. In Luke chapter 12, look at it in verse 45, it says, and if the servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants, maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. So here, this is really the parable on the steward and his servants. And that talking about the wise steward. And so when you think about it here, be not weary in waiting for the Lord's return. He is coming back, and we need to be ready and anticipate that. And the Lord had a reason for not revealing when he's coming. Let's go over to 2 Peter. Let me show you 2 Peter chapter 3. and verse 4. When you get to 2 Peter 3:4, it says, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or have died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." So this message has been being preached in the church age for 2,000 plus years. And you think about that, and he is coming. The Lord has a reason for not revealing the time. And we just know that whenever that is, we need to be ready and be prepared. And every day, plan for, anticipate, and think about. So be not weary in well-doing. These thoughts again tonight is be not weary in doing the will of God. And by that meaning is focusing on the Great Commission. Secondly, is be not weary in living the Christian life. You know, living the Christian life. Some people get the most out of their Christian life, and some people, it seems like, will struggle through that, and it's an agony and a pain every day. When you get up, you should be able to enjoy your Christian living and what you're going through. Look for something in it that you can enjoy and get through through the course of the day. And so when you think about that, become not weary in living this Christian life. And then be not weary in giving a life of service. You know, we talk about this commitment form. This is really minimal when you think about it. And, you know, you got to figure out what you can do, where you can be involved in, where you can put your time at. And I remember as early as Bible college days, Nate and I were just young seminary students, and I was walking through the church building one day at Calvary Baptist in Grand Prairie, and a lady, Mrs. Williams, come up to me, and she said, "Aren't you one of those seminary students out there to school?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" And she goes, "Well," she goes, "we need a junior boys Sunday school teacher, and so you be in teachers meeting next week and be ready to go." And I said, "Oh, no, you don't understand. I'm not ready to do. I'm only 19 years old. I'm not ready for that." She goes, "Oh, yeah, you are." And so Mrs. Williams pinned me down and said, "Be there." And then I find out by doing that was one of the best blessings I ever had. And then Dr. Odom come along and said, "Rick," said, "I just went to Tennessee and bought two Bluebird stub-nosed buses. And Calvary Baptist Church decided to start a bus ministry in Grand Prairie, Texas." And so he reaches his big old Texas hand out and says, "Here's a set of keys to that Bluebird bus out there. Brand new bus." He said, "Go start a bus route here in Grand Prairie." I said, "Doc," I said, "I don't know how to do that." He said, "You'll figure it out. Just go on." I was like, "You'll figure it out. Well, what does that mean?" And so I grabbed Bob Stiers, and Bob and I said, "Bob, do you know how to do this?" He said, "Nope." And I said, "I don't either." I said, "Let's just go." And we just went, started going street to street to street to street and filling that bus up until we got it all filled up and bringing bus kids in on a regular basis on that bus. And somebody else took the other bus. So find a, you know, you say, "Well, I don't have time for that." Now, at that time, we were taking 18 hours in school. I was working 40 to 45 hours a week at Horner Waldorf Corporation, and then teaching a Sunday school class, and then building a bus route on, there were no days off, on Sunday, and going on visitation, knocking on doors, and then on Sunday was just services all day, and ministering, and teaching, and music, and all that was going on. And I look back now, I say, those were some of the best days of your life. Giving your life of service to the Lord and saying, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." Do you become weary at times? Boy, I'll tell you what, do you ever get so bone-tired, weary, you think to yourself, "I don't even know if I can move and get up and get going." And then you got to get up and get going. So be not weary in giving a life of service. It's well worth it. Be not weary in coming to church and worshiping the Lord. And be not weary in bringing our gifts to Him. It's a joy to be able to give to Him and to put Him first. And then be able to serve others. It's always not about me, myself, and I. It's always not about what's on your plate. It's about what can I do to help others along the way in the service of the Lord. And then, for sure, be not weary. He is coming back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Father, help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to rest if we must, come aside, recharge, find encouragement along the way. And the Church of Jesus Christ is all about exhortation. We should be able to come in here and exhort each other in the faith, encourage each other in the faith, and let us not become weary. And sometimes people will become weary or discouraged along the way. We find that with Israel in Numbers chapter 21. We find that with other examples in the Bible. So God, help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to remain faithful and keep our eye on you. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, is in his name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you tonight.